And for a second, we'll pray, we'll open the scripture together, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. Father, we just we come to you today expectant. We know that you are the God that hears prayer. We know that you, nothing is hid from your eyes, that you see every heart, God, and we thank you that you not just see us, but that you love us and that you care for us. Really just bless our time here today in a particular way by your Spirit speaking what you want to speak to each heart here, each person here, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, let's just read a little bit. It's one verse, Proverbs 28, Proverbs chapter 28. Oh, it's 25. Okay, sorry. I was a page or two off. 25. Okay. It's verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. You say that? 1, 2, 3. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Keep going. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That's great. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. You can take your seats. So I was thinking about in the first session that we had, it was Thursday night, and the speaker, his topic was theology and worship. And he was talking about music, you know, this musical time of worship during our church service. And he made a point, I don't know if he used these words, but his point was like, that worship is formative. Worship is formative. You know what that word means? It means it forms. It makes something. And he was talking about, the whole conference was about this, music, right? But our church service, it's worship. You know? When we come in here and David's reading the scripture, and when you come in and you listen to that, you know, and not just like, oh, yeah, he's reading it, whatever, but you stop and you make yourself hear it. You know, that is a way of worshiping, you know, listening to the scripture. And you come in and you sing these songs that, like, man, I'm not feeling it, but overflow in this place, right? We need your presence, the songs we're singing today, you know. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And you confess that with your mouth. What does Romans chapter 10 say? You believe in your heart? Great. Saved. Nothing else is needed. Christ has done everything. You say, like, God, I give you my heart. Let's go. Right? Boom. It happened. Right? But then what does Paul say? Believe in your heart? Great. But then you confess with your mouth and you're delivered. And Paul writes that book to a group of people who are living in a city where the ruling government taking people who were confessing that, sticking them on sharp poles, setting them on fire, his candles in his garden. Paul, I think confessing it is not really saving anybody, all right? I think confessing it is kind of the opposite of deliverance. But Paul says, no, believe in your heart, perfect. Like, you are right with God. That is what he asks. He asked for your heart. You got it. Then if you confess it with your mouth, right? And I think that for me, I think of that a lot of times with like our singing, you know, these songs that we're singing, like just praise the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Just say it. Just say, yeah, but no, it's been rough. Yes, it is. Life has its ups and it has its downs. And you as a believer, you get higher highs and lower lows than any other person on the planet. I don't know if you know that, but, you know, God kind of let you into something when you became a believer. The greater joys of life and the lower depressions of it, right? That's just part of it. But when we confess it with our mouth, like, yes, you are good. And it's think, well, this chorus is kind of repetitive. Well, it's also formative when you sing it. And then when we have this preaching time in church where you're like, wow, nothing much is happening. I'm just sitting. You're talking. Like, I guess something's happening for you. Nothing for me. I'm just kind of here. You know, I kind of count the windows, you know, oh, look at the colors, right? Or whatever, right? How many lights do we have in here? You know, now everybody's counting the lights. But to be able to sit to quiet my heart down, to have this posture before God of acceptance, of reception, of humility, that God, yes, this is the time when you are ministering to me. This is now, right now you are washing my feet. Right now this turmoil that's going on in me, or this great joy that I have coming into your presence, there is a place for it, and it is like casting it as a crown at his feet. Right? And letting this time of worship, even right now, formative in us. You know? And then of course the rest of life. You know, you go to work on Monday, you know, and the challenges that face on a daily basis at work, then you go home from work and the challenges that you face daily at home, and then you put your head on your pillow and the challenges that you're facing in between your ears. You know, like life is like this, but worship is very formative, and it's the glory of God to hide a matter. That word for matter, it's a Hebrew word that means reality, you know, a real thing. Essence of something. It's the glory of God to conceal that. Like, what is life about? So many people ask that question, you know, like a big deal. Like, we have this subject called philosophy in college and things, you know. People make a living philosophizing, right? Why? Because we're wondering, like, what the heck is going on here? You know? Even when people are planting churches, a big question is, what is our mission? Why are we planting this church? What's the point? I mean, there's a church on that corner. Why do we need to plant a church? And they stop and they think about it. Why are we doing this? Well, it's the glory of God to hide the essence of what is going on, right? Well, God, why would you do that? If you wanted everybody to know, wouldn't you just, psh, here it is, right? But honor of kings to search it out. Search it out. And that's like us. It's not really clear but we actually are, the Bible says. As a believer, you have trusted in Christ. You put your confidence in Him. Like, okay, Jesus, you said that this is the way life was, right? And I am believing you. That, you know, I am believing that you said that to actually live life, I die, I give it up, right? In order to actually have joy, there is a mourning. And then through that mourning, you take that from me and you put joy in its place. That from ashes there is beauty. God, I'm trusting that the way you are saying life is, I'm believing that it's that way. I believe you. Right? And it's kind of hidden, but what that is and what we are now, the Bible says. But it is our honor to search it out. It is an honorable thing for us to live in faith. This is an honorable thing for us to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. It is an honorable thing for you to live in humility, even when all of society is it's filled with a selfish ambition. Ambition's not bad, but like a self-serving ambition, right? Like this egotistical, self-centered kind of lifestyle, right? Well, I could live like that if what I really was the center of the universe. I can't really tell yet what I am. You know, so wouldn't it be better to take the low seat and let somebody say, hey, actually come up here to the high seat? Isn't that better than to take the high seat and take the seat up front and somebody say, actually these are reserved. You gotta go in the back, dude. Right? What actually feels better? Hey, I think you know which one. And there was this whole section of reserve seating, you know, at this conference. And this was last year this happened. This is Helam's story. I'm stealing Helam's story, right? So, you know, there's this whole section of reserve seating, and we're sitting in the row, like, right in front of it. You know? And the worship leader is speaking at one of these sessions, and Helam, like, hears this cackling going on behind her. What the heck is going on? You know, laughing, they're talking, these two women are laughing, talking. And she's like, I can't even hardly hear this guy. Like, what is going on, right? But she kind of like, she's like, I'm going to look around and give him a glare, you know, real Christian, you know, right? So she looks, she turns around, and she's about to give it to him. And it's Carrie Job and Brooke Frazier, if you know, like Hillsong, you know, worship leader and Carrie Job, you know. So And it's her husband, like, speaking, and she looks and she's like, okay. And then she still gave him the glare, she said. And after that, they were like, oh, praise the Lord, yes, amen, you know. They were into it after that, you know. Whatever that story is about. But, you know, it's a little more honorable if you're just sitting in the back and somebody says, hey, come on up here. Rather than, you know, oh, I'm going to make something of myself. And then God comes along and says, actually, thou worm, Jacob, you know, you're going to have to move it. Some people more important than you. No, it's not that kind of thing. But, you know, it's not really evident what this life is about on first glance, right? I think it's about authority, power, money, greed, ambition, happiness, success. It's not really evident what it's about on first glance because God has hidden it, right? It's not about me. It's not about my happiness. It's not about my family, my job, my church, my worship. It's not about that. On first glance, it is. You can go anywhere in the world and you see that. Anywhere in life, we see that. But when we come to the scriptures, when we come to worship, and we sit in the presence of God, and, you know, you do a little digging, like James was referencing that illustration. Do a little digging, right? And you find that, oh, there is something bigger than me and my ideas of what my family should be like. Like, there is a bigger idea of family than my idea of family. There's a bigger idea of what work life is than my idea of work life. There is even a bigger idea of me, right, than what I thought. And where do we get that? God has hidden it, and he's saying, come on, dig it out, search for it, find it. And there's one example of it that I'll just read to you. It's in 2 Kings chapter 3. This is a pretty cool one. 2 Kings chapter 3. This is Elisha, and there is warfare happening, and the king of Israel, well, the king of Judah, is coming to Elisha, asking the man of God for some wisdom, some guidance, and Elisha is. Let's see, we can go to maybe verse 14. Elisha says, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel. David up here on the keyboard. Playing. It came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came on him. Why? Because worship is formative. Because God has hidden the answer for his situation in worship. And it's an honorable thing for Elisha to say, time out. Like, I'm just going to sit before God for a minute. Right? Like, I got an idea. Like, maybe Moses, you could say, right? He was trained to take over a kingdom. He knew military strategy. He knew politics. He knew everything. But didn't use any of that when it came to freeing the children of Israel and leading them into the promised land. But what did he do? Like this. I'm out. Fall on my face for a minute. Just ask God, like, what? Give me something. Give me anything. Because life is not what I think it is at this moment. I've got some strategy. I got some plans. I got some things. And that's great. Right? The plans and preparations are in the heart of a man. But answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Right? It's great to have ambition, to have some drive, to have some vision, to say, God, maybe this is where you'd have me to go and do and whatever, right? James chapter 4. I think we can go to this city and we can have this little business plan and that could be great. Right? But what is James' point there in that chapter? He's saying that whole chapter, he's saying what? God gives grace to the humble. So we don't say, God, I've got the plan. I've got the strategy. I know how to deal with kids and how to raise them right. I know how to really advance in my career. I know how to do this and I know how to do that. Like, maybe I do. I take all of that and I lay it on the altar, Say, God, I know that you give grace to the humble. Right? And what does it say in that chapter in James? As the Lord wills. Like, God, what do you have? Right? And maybe he says, go to that city and execute that business plan that you've prayed over and that you've asked me about. Do it. Maybe he says, no, not yet, not now. Right? But the issue isn't plan or no plan. The issue is worshiping in the tension, worshiping in the in-between, humility. Just ask him. Right? Like that's a great first step. Like just taking a second and just saying, okay, God, like, no. So Elisha says, all right, bring me a worship leader. Get that guitar out. Heaven. Came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came on him. Isn't that incredible? You think like God wants to put his hand on you? Like, nah, maybe not so much. I mean, like, not that he doesn't want to, but that I don't really feel like that's the dispensation we're in right now. Whatever, right? I got all kinds of good theological words I can use. Oh, right? Like, God, do you think God wants to be a part of, like, our actual life? Like, what did Martha say when Jesus said, hey, you know, Lazarus is going to live? What did Martha say? Oh, I know. I've read it, right? Oh, yeah, we're not the old has passed away. All things are become new. And, you know, like, I'm not who I was. I'm justified. I am redeemed. I'm adopted. Oh, Romans 8. Oh, the Spirit lives in me. Quickly. Oh, I know it, right? Like, that was kind of her answer a little bit, some people say. Like, she was theologically sound in that way. But Jesus wasn't really talking like that. He was kind of asking like this, you know, do you believe that the hand of God could be in your life? Oh, yeah, well, I remember in 2 Kings chapter 3 when that that could happen. Yeah, but like you right now, me in our life, could the hand of God just come on our life and our family, job, at the dinner table, right? The hand of God be on our family at the dinner table. If it's like this, I think, yeah, I think that's what he wants. Hey, like, bring the worship, God. I'm going through it. There's some tension, but bring the worship. And I believe that worship is formative, that it's going to do something in my heart. When I humble myself, that God will pour out grace. Right? I believe that, that this is what God is about. That it's an honorable thing for us to seek Him. And not only is it honorable for us to seek Him, but He loves that we would seek Him. And the only people that see anything in Hebrews chapter 11 are what? Those that diligently seek Him. Right? There is treasure there, it says. Who doesn't love treasure? That's like the most fun thing, digging through those giant Lego bins at the Will Checkhouse when you find those little tiny gold, you know, Lego treasure things. Woohoo! I'll even hide those from the kids. Finally, I got one. That's going in my pocket. Sorry, Judah. You know. Treasure. From what? From what? You know? From just opening the Bible a little bit, reading one verse maybe, and just meditating on it and let it forming the way you think about your life that day. You know? Psalm chapter 34. Come, magnify the Lord with me. Stop right there. Don't even go any further. Just let that phrase ring in your soul all day. And what could happen in that worship? You know, maybe the hand of God could come on you. Right? Not maybe. That's what He does. Right? So look at then what happens. This is awesome. Then he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Some of you guys know this story already. Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you won't see wind, you won't see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Why is this awesome? It was a drought. They were surrounded. This was a time of battle. And they're asking, like, what are we going to do? There's no water for their cattle, for our beasts, for our families. How long can we actually survive this? Elisha says, dig ditches. Okay? Like, no, we need water. Elisha says, he comes out of this time of worship where he's just sat before God and God's given him something. Right? And how exciting is that? That ever happened to you? Like, yes. You just sit before God in humility and just pour it out there and say, God, anything. Like, I'll take anything at this point. Throw me a bone. Give me something, right? And he gives you something. Elisha brings it to them. Dig ditches. No, no, no. Elisha, water. Elisha's like, dig ditches. You know? And you won't see wind. You won't see rain. But there's going to be water. Okay. No rain. But there's going to be water. Like, how deep are we digging these ditches, you know? We were talking about frost line the other day. Like, up in New England, you know, you're building a deck. You got to put footers down. You got to dig 4 feet down. 4 feet. You got to dig maybe over your, you know, 8 inches. Josiah was digging one time these footers for a deck. And Josiah had made perfectly straight, like, 6-inch by 6-inch holes. Like, he's like, how big do I have to be? I'm like, well, we're using 6x6s, these posts. It just says, like, okay, perfect. Like, straight, perfectly straight, 6-inch by 6-inch holes for these things. How deep do I got to dig these? Like, are we digging for water here? Like, where is this water coming from? Elisha's like, just dig the ditches. No wind, no rain. They're going to fill up. And I think it's like this in our life. Like, maybe you don't see a connection between an awesome family life and like sitting and listening to some dude talk on a Sunday. Maybe we can't put two and two together like, well, if I just sing Praise the Lord, oh my soul, like 15 times, like, and you're asking me to, how is that going to affect my job? Maybe we don't see the connection. Like this, no wind, no rain, but those ditches are going to be filled up. It's not natural. Right? It's supernatural. We're not talking about, you know, a buddy coming along and helping you out to do something. We're talking about God intervening in our affairs and giving us something that we could never build by our own energy. How could I build the perfect family? I could buy every book on Amazon about the perfect family and still screw it up. Why? Because we're all human and we live in a fallen world. And your car is made to run on gasoline. It's not going to run on, you know, water or olive oil, right? Or Kool-Aid. Why? Because that's not the fuel that engine was designed to burn, right? You and I, we were not made to run on our own energy and efforts and our own steam and our own will and our own, right? We were made to run on the Holy Spirit. We were made for God. Our families were made for God. Our work life and our ambition and our energy was made for God to infuse it. Right? That's what this life is about. And it's not obvious at first. God has hidden it. And he just gives us little things like this. You know what you're going to do? You're going to dig some ditches. No, no, no. We need water. Okay. Like, I need joy in my family, it's just crazy. Or I need a little somber tone, or I need peace, or I need love, I need gentleness, because I'm about to whip these kids into oblivion, right? Or whatever, right? Like, I need some wisdom, I need something. I need something, right? That's kind of where it is. I need something. And it's not obvious, I've tried everything, it's not obvious. God has hidden it. And he can give a word like this. Just sing. Just say this over and over to your soul. Just get in the scripture and meditate on this one word. Magnify the Lord or whatever, right? Whatever verse God gives you, whatever word God gives you. He can give you something. Well, what's the connection? How is that scripture going to make any difference at the dinner table? How is that scripture going to deal with this discipline problem with my kid? How is this scripture going to, you know, whatever? I don't see the connection. I mean, well, and actually, who says that we have to? We're always looking for. We're always looking for things to line up. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of those guys. I'm like an overthinker and a planner, and it's a dangerous combination, right? I'm looking for that. But who says it has to? We're talking about God. No, we're talking about bigger than our ideas about God. We're talking about bigger. We're not talking about Kool-Aid in the engine. Talking about real gasoline. It's going to fire those cylinder explosions in that thing, and it's going to go 0 to 60, and depends on what you're driving. 7 seconds. 2 seconds. You guys, what's the fastest car you guys are making? 0 to 60 in, yeah? 2 seconds? Crazy. Why? Because it's got the right fuel. You know? Can't put sugar in that gas tank and expect anything good to happen. Right? I mean, and this is our life with God. We feed into it. We feed into it. We feed into it trust and belief. We feed into it. Even when we doubt. You know, C.S. Lewis said about hypocrisy, it's not when, you know, you say, oh, I don't want to go to that church or church at all, right, because I'd feel like a hypocrite. You didn't know me this week. If I went, I'd really be a hypocrite. He says that's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when your actions don't line up with what you believe. And if you believe that God is who he says he is, that God can change lives, that God pours out grace on the humble, right? If you believe what God says, that we are not the old, we are not the past, even if it's 5 minutes ago, that we are a new creature, right? That our life is supernatural. If you believe that, then the only logical thing to do would be to get in church and pour out your praise on God, to say thank you, would be to open our Bibles, would be to just pray, would be to take a second out of our day and say, God, just give it to me. It's an honorable thing for us to do that. That's the only thing to do, right? That's the only unhypocritical thing to do. So, just wind down here. Thus saith the Lord, you will not see wind, you won't see rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. Verse 18, this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, and he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. So the end of the story, they go out, the ditches are all filled with water. The Moabites think it's blood. They get freaked out because they think there's some, you know, a slaughter happening, and they just get out of it. It's a light thing in the sight of the Lord to feed your, you know, to water your flocks. It's a light thing. He will also deal with your enemy. You know, I have been, like, really just thinking, and we talked about Wednesday night a little bit just about this, that God, he's just working, right? He's working like in the periphery. He's working just outside of our field of vision oftentimes. You know, and we think like, okay, God, when are you going to work, or when are you going to do this, when are you going to do that? Well, he's doing it, right? We're just not aware of it. He's hidden it. We just can't see it. He's doing it. And we're praying so hard about one thing maybe, right, about God, about our kids, you know, which we should, you know, or about our job. I mean, we should be praying about everything, right? But we're praying hard about something. We're really just bringing it to God. He says, like, great, you know? And maybe he gives you a word, right? He just says, just worship. Worship in the tension. Get before me. Sit before me. Just humble yourself. Right? And I've got something for you. And maybe it's kind of, and I think it's kind of like this. It's a light thing for me to answer that prayer. It's like, it's a light thing. And you're thinking, well, why doesn't he do it already, right? It's a light thing for me to answer that prayer. Not only will I answer that prayer, but I'm also going to deal with all this other stuff that I've been working on that you're not even aware of, right? I am working. That is incredible. We get tunnel vision. Get in our little zone. We get in our life with my, you know, my plans and overthinking this, and I'm trying to work through this and that, and which is great. I mean, like, we deal with what's in front of us, and God has given us life, and he's given you wisdom, and he's given you his spirit to be guided in life, right? And you do. We deal with what's in front of us, and we pray about it, and we lift everything up to the Lord, and God could step in and say, this is a light thing for me, and I'm going to deal with it. But not only that, 10 other things that you weren't even aware of yet, right? I'm dealing with demons that you didn't even know were hitting you on the left and the right. That might even just open your eyes to this one thing you've been praying about, right? I'm going to deal with things on the left and the right that you had no idea about, because I'm the God who's working in the periphery. I'm working over here. You know, you do those tests, the driving tests, and they do the light, or they used to. You know, you go around and you say, you have to say something when you couldn't see it no more or whatever, right? This is where God is working in the blind spot. You know? We say, God, like, will you deal with this? We need water. I need wisdom, courage. I need love. I need gentleness. I need your spirit to pour out. I need something. Right? God says, just dig some ditches. Just do it. You're not going to see the connection. Just worship. Just praise. Just pray. Just open your Bible and meditate on the scripture. Just get in church and let somebody talk it over you and listen to it. Just get there. Just get into my presence. I'm there. Just be aware of it. I'm there. I'm always there. Right? And not only am I going to just reveal all of this to you, here's 10 other things that I've been doing in your life. Here's 5 other things that I was dealing with. I was dealing with your past because I'm right there. Now, isn't that amazing? And God is dealing with that because He's right there right now. Got something in my past that's really bugging me. Well, God is in it right now dealing with it. How about that? You know, God, what about this in the future? Well, He's in that moment right now in the future dealing with it. What about my family? What about my job? What about tomorrow? What about tonight? Who's going to win the game? God's already there dealing with it, right? I don't know, whatever, you know. Really? God, I got this tunnel vision. I got this thing, right? And I'm lifting it up to you and I need an answer. And God says, great. So just wrapping this up in the band, you guys can come up. We'll sing a closing song here together. But if it's a light thing for God, maybe I should hold it a little bit lighter too. I find like in myself that whenever I'm up against something, I start holding on to it really tightly and saying, God, like this thing, we got to deal with this thing. And it's a big deal. Right? And God, if God's saying it's a light thing, then maybe I should like loosen my grip a little bit on it too. Right? Maybe I should hold it a little bit lighter. I'm not saying you don't take things seriously. Like, you know, you had an interview, you take it seriously, you know, things like that. I'm not saying we don't take things seriously, but we take them seriously, but we can hold them lightly. You know, my life isn't dependent on my ability to provide an income or my ability to worship God or my ability in any area. I have an income because God has provided me with a job and the ability to work. I have a family because God gave me put me in a family. You know, in Psalm 68, he gave me this word once. I set the solitary in families and I was feeling kind of solitary. And guess what? He set me in a family. Bam. So if God is saying it's a light thing, like maybe I could hold it a little lightly as well. You know? Because after all, whose work is it? Right? It's His. Right? It's supernatural. And I love this. Someone said this weekend, just because it's not spectacular doesn't mean it's not supernatural. Right? Yeah, Peter walked on water. Spectacular. Right? But God giving you a word when you ask Him, supernatural, right? Jesus said, you guys are following me because I multiplied bread by 5,000. Like, fine. But there's another work. It's that you, in your heart, when I speak, you're saying, yes, it's true, right? It's not spectacular, but it's supernatural. That, I think, is like the core, the real deal. That's the reality of life that we're hunting down, that God is hidden. Right? That's the thing that we're hunting for, that God is hidden in this world. And He speaks in our heart. We just say yes, because it's real and it's supernatural and God is doing it. And it's not mind-blowing, maybe. We learn to hold things lightly, whereas before I would have a death grip on things. Now I can just say, like, God, I'm trusting you. That's not spectacular, but it's supernatural. God giving you a word and you actually making a real decision in your life based on a word that God gave you. It's not spectacular. No, there's no cameras following you around documenting it, maybe. But it's supernatural. So you gotta come on. We'll sing this closing song together. Well, let's all stand and